Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, here we are. Okay, here we are. I'm sorry for being a little late today. Just had a technical problem with the recording. Okay. I'm not exactly sure where we left off in last week's class. It was a little complicated because of the problem with the recording. So I'm going to try to do a little bit of a chazara. Today's class also is going to be due to it being on Friday. It's going to be a little shorter. Okay, so briefly, in our last class, we were learning about the rectification of bringing everything back to where it was before the mess up in Gan Eden, the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Everything got messed up. There was a breakage. It began with the snake. The snake tempted Chava tempted Adam, and over there was a disconnect. So as we spoke, that the Mashiach's coming is going to be a bringing everything back to the way it was, as the pasuk says, Eile Toldei Shemayim Va'aretz. The Toldeis is mole meaning complete, bringing everything back to its completed state, as it was before the breaking. And not only that, but the Eile, as we mentioned, the Rebbe always mentioned, that Eile Toldeis Peretz, the completed state, the perfected state that everything is going to be in after Mashiach comes, is not only going to be back to where it was before we messed it up, but it's going to be even greater than it was before. As we mentioned from the Shlach HaKadosh, that Chava actually gained by through the sin of the Eitz Hadas, and the incredible mashal that he gives is how wine in a grape the juice when it's in the grape is grape juice, but it's not fine wine. By squeezing out the grapes, you enable the potential of the greatest wine to come out. On the other hand, of course, you have to deal with the dregs. But that's the whole point. By the dregs being exposed, you're able to remove them, separate them, and then that which is good becomes not only good, but becomes much better than had it never been separated, gone through the separation process. And that was the story with Chava that there was some kind of a potential choosing of bad that the human being had, even though the heart of the human being was not yet plagued with the Yetzirah, but there was some kind of a potential that it was a capability that he was able to choose the negative. Since I taught this last week, we learned the Maimah from the Alter Rebbe, which mentioned something about the Eitz Hadas, which connects very well to what we're learning now, which I didn't mention then, is that the problem with Adam was that before the sin, his connection to the difference between the Eitz Hadas and the Eitz HaChayim is Eitz Hadas means your connection with the Eibishter comes through your Das. Through your Das, which means you feel, you sense the reality, the goodness, the beauty, the deliciousness of Elokus, the truth of Elokus, and for that reason, you choose, based on your own Das, to connect to the Eibishter. That's the idea of Bechira, which is good, we have a choice. But the mere fact that you choose good means that there is an option to choose the opposite. That's the idea of Eitz Hadas Toivara. Adam HaRishon was in a place where he was filled, all of his five senses were only sensing holiness, godliness, Kedusha, and he was drawn to Kedusha, but there was still a choice to make. There was another option. Should he be shown the other side, he could technically, possibly, choose something that's not godly. His relationship is based on Das. Das Toivara. Now, of course, in the Gan, the Eitz Hadas itself is not bad. The Eitz Hadas, even the Ra in the Eitz Hadas wasn't bad yet, because it's part of the Gan Eden. But it's a possibility where, since you're choosing from your Das, you could end up seeing things that are not godly, and as a result of that, having a connection to them. The Eitz HaChayim is a depth of reality, a state of consciousness, a state of awareness in which the Eibishter is life. And it's not a choice because Hashem is good, because Hashem is nice, because Hashem is wonderful, because it's a good thing to be connected. In the Eitz HaChaim reality, the Eibishter is life, Chaim, life. And you cannot choose anything but life. Life is life. And that's where Adam HaRishon needed to upgrade. Had Adam HaRishon gone from the, instead of eating the Eitz HaDas, but he would have gone immediately for the Eitz HaChaim, his choice, his connection to the Eibishter would be inevitable. Meaning it's not a possibility for anything else. Even his physical body, would have become so instinctively attuned with godliness, with the Eibishter's will, that there wouldn't be any Bechira, any possibility for him not to do what Hashem wants. So that would have been great. The problem is that they would have... So that's what the Eibishter wanted. Adam HaRishon should become unified with Emes. You see, a choice opposite Elokus, opposite the Eibishter, is just Hepecha Emes. It's the opposite of Emes. It's just foolish. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense that we have Bechira to even do that. I mean, it's only that today, because of our entire consciousness is thick and dense and blocked, it's possible for us to imagine that we have existence, that we have life in a disconnected state. So had Adam and Chava immediately eaten from the Eitz HaChaim, they would have forever been connected to Elokus in a manner that it's impossible for them ever to become disconnected. They would have lived on, as we learned last week, just like the Eibishter is Emes, Chai V'Kayom, eternal forever and ever, so too their Neshamas, which are Chelek Alekayim Imal, would also be eternal, which Itaka is. The Neshama is eternal forever. But not only that, the body would have been just a means and a tool and an actualizer of the soul. As we learned earlier about the body being an intelligent body, part of the Levush for the Nefesh. And then, just like the Sefer Torah is saved, as we learned last week, also the tick of the Sefer Torah, which is the body, which is the container of it, would also have been lasting forever and ever and ever, an ultimate oneness with Hashem, with Eitz HaChaim, with the Tree of Life. There wouldn't be any options. By eating from the Eitz HaDas, they placed themselves in that situation where everything is about how I feel. I feel the reality of Elokus is good. I choose to serve the Eibishter because I choose to serve him, as opposed to this is just reality. There's nothing to talk about. This is the Emes. So what would have happened based on this whole idea if Chava would have not have eaten from the Eitz HaDas, and we would have immediately gone into Eitz HaChaim consciousness, into Eitz HaChaim living? It would have been very, very good and very wonderful, but we would have never came to the connection to the Eibishter, even mitzad us. It would have been, oshkayach, you're living in a world where God is the only truth. The fact that Chava chose to eat from the Eitz HaDas, it means that human being became separated. And as a result of him becoming separated, we are in a state where we can make choices. And we make the wrong choices. And we make the wrong choices again and again and again. And we get burnt, and it hurts, and uncomfortable, and it's painful. And we learn from our choices. And eventually humanity comes to understand that even though we were given a choice, there really is no choice, because the Eibishter is the only thing to choose, because he is real, and besides for him, there's nothing. Then, when we make our way to Elokus, in that what we might call the long way, it is the long way, but it's the long shorter way, because once we get there, there isn't any possibility possible. Because, see, if we eat from the Eitz HaChaim, of course the Eibishter is real, but then we don't know. What would you choose if you would be in a space where you don't feel the Eibishter as absolute reality, as absolute emes? We don't know. But now that we were given the choice, and the human being experimented with other things for 5,500 years, close to 6,000 years, in which we make mistakes, and yet we always, you know, we bounce back, and we realize this is the emes. And we see amongst the Jewish people, we're coming back to a life of Torah mitzvahs. And as we make, then we come to even a greater connection and a greater unity with Elokus. And that is going to be, when Mashiach comes, we're finally going to come back into the Eitz HaChaim state of being, into the Elokus is going to become so obvious, so real, so powerful, so imminent, and so much the only reality that's not Shayach anymore for anything else, but it included the choice of our das, as opposed to bypassing our das, which would have been the case had we not experimented with the Eitz HaDas. So now, going back to the Chet, because we were all explaining about what's going to happen with the Nachash, what is going to be the state with the snake. See, the snake represents the most coarsest elements of existence in which the Eibishter is felt the least, and that's where you have the beginnings of Klipa. The snake, being that the snake is created to be the outside of holiness, the outside, 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 meaning the least the battle to Hashem, the most yesh possible, the most of a being possible. There is no kavana in the snake being a snake onto its own. There's no interest in having something with so little bittle existing in this world. What's the point of it? It has very, very minor bittle. There's nothing to it. The point of the snake is that he would be the servant of the human being, where the human being serves the Eibishter. So the human being comes to know Hashem, attach himself to Hashem through Be'ikr, through his neshama, actualized through the body. The body is, so to speak, the keli for the oyer. It's the vessel, the container for the light, in which a person, as a human being, who is a davar nifrad, who has a sense of self in separation, is connecting himself and unifying himself with the Eibishter. So again, the purpose can only be realized through a body, because without a body, and you only have a neshama, then you're just a lukus. The point over here is you should be a yesh, you should have a self, and that self, you should be a somebody, and that somebody should be in a relationship with Hashem. That's what the body gives you. The body makes you a little bit yeshes, a little bit beingness, a little sense, having an existence, a reality, a state of beingness, and then in that, from that beingness, you make your connection. So what I'm trying to hit on is that the body is chitzainius to the neshama, and the nachash, the snake, is chitzainius to the body. It's meant, if the body is an intelligent body, being preoccupied all day long only with following the neshama and learning Torah and doing all the mitzvahs, the body has no time to be busy with earning a living, with sustaining itself. So that you have a snake. The snake, who is also a creation, doesn't have the bittul and the intelligence to know Hashem directly, but he knows the human being and is humbly submissive to the human being and serves the human being, and that's the way it should have been, it could have been, but that's not the way what happened. The snake started thinking that it is independent, because he's yeshestig, the snake, because he's the most chitzoniestig level of bittul, he stepped out of line and went into his own ego of saying, I am and I exist, because I exist, I'm not a servant of the human being, I'm here because I am. Now, in order to strengthen and solidify and validate his yeshus, his sense of beingness that is outside of the Eibishter's kavana, he needed the human being to listen to him. So, because the human being is the decider of reality. The way we look at the world, that's reality. That's what creates reality. When we are batal, the world is batal. When we are not batal, the world is not batal. So when the human being listens to the snake's plan, when Chava listens to the snake, and the snake is suggesting some otherness besides serving Hashem, eat the fruit, enjoy the fruit for the sense of just for your own enjoyment, what does that do? That endorses that there is something to experience that's outside Eibishter, outside the Eibishter's will. When that happens, that fortifies the snake. That gives the snake more chayas. That means that the klipa is now being yoinek chayas from Kedusha. It's stealing from Kedusha. It's giving more importance to itself, and it's getting the human being to acknowledge its more importance, its greater significance and importance. And that's how the snake became an entity, a creature, not serving. Now, when something is not serving its purpose, it's an interesting idea. When something is not serving its purpose, it becomes a mazik. Because, you know, just like you have, you know, in your house, you have stuff. And when the broomstick is serving its purpose as being a broom and it's cleaning the house, and the rest of the time it's put into the closet, then it's okay. But if a broomstick, the kids start playing with the broomstick, then it's not serving its purpose, and chas v'shalom, the kid can get hurt, it sits on the floor, someone can fall over it, and it can become, someone can shtech his chas v'shalom, his eyes in the pokey pieces of the broomstick. The whole thing becomes a hazard, because it's not serving its purpose. When the snake is not doing what its job is to do, it becomes a mazik. It becomes an entity at war, messes up creation. And physically too, being that the snake got the human being to give it chayas, the snake also bites the human being, chas v'shalom, and wants to be makabel chayas, get extra energy from the human being. Spiritually, all the forces of evil are deriving, becoming more of a metzias, more of an entity onto their own, disconnected, separated from their purpose. As that happens, that pulls the human body as well, separating it from the neshama. So it's almost like where the snake was before, the human body became, moved into that space. See, the snake was the chitzainius, chitzainius, chitzainius of Kedusha. The human body was more pneumistic of Kedusha. What happened was like this, the snake became klipa, fell down lower, separated, disconnected. That's probably an incorrect statement. The snake was never Kedusha. The snake is going to be Kedusha after it's rectified, after Mashiach comes. The snake was a very subtle klipa. We might say like on a level of klipas noiga, a very, very subtle klipa. And it was meant to be a shoymer, as we said earlier, hashoymer leperi. It was meant to be a fruit, a guard to the peri. When the snake sinned, it became coarsened. It became really like in the level, what we call shalosh klipas atmei, is much, much darker, much uglier. And also it imported its venom and it brought its dirt, its klipadishkeit into the human being as well. It affected the human body. So the human body is now called mishcha dechivi. It's called the hide of the snake. So the Alter Rebbe refers to it in Tanya, based on the Zohar, that the body is called the hide of the snake because the body became self-conscious. The body became into its own pleasure. Instead of being a vehicle and an instrument and an actualizer of mitzvahs, the body became a pleasure seeker for its own purpose, without any intent, without any... So eating just for the sake of enjoyment, intimacy just for the sake of enjoyment, and therefore it doesn't focus it. It tries to find its pleasure everywhere outside of Kedusha, both in eating, both in all kinds of delights and all kinds of experiences. The body is off on its own thing. And as we said before, physically it's not even healthy. As we know, when a person overeats or a person overindulges in all kinds of other things, then that physically brings about a miserable life, because when something is not set to be in its place, kol davar al makoyim yaveh b'shalom, everything has to come in peace when it sits in its right place. When the body goes off and starts thinking of itself not as a servant, it also becomes... It's dangerous. It becomes very physically unhealthy for the body, and that itself causes the body to die. So now the body becomes disconnected from the soul, and you have a mess. As that happens, we spoke last week, the world itself becomes mixed good and bad. Everything becomes confused. The earth also becomes confused. The earth itself becomes confused, and it starts producing a mixture of good and bad. It produces, instead of before the... what's it called again? Before the sin of the Eitz Hadas, the earth was only producing food. It was producing, it would have not produced any waste. Everything would have been edible. Because what kind of business does the earth have to produce? The Eibishter created an earth. Now, for the earth to produce something is miraculous. Since when? What does sand have to do with producing fruits? What does earth have to do with cherries? What does earth have to do with bananas? What does earth have to do with avocados and plums and wheat and barley and rice? What does earth have to do with any of these things? It's just that this is what the Eibishter wants, so that the earth should provide and feed humanity and feed all living beings. So let the earth only produce that which is useful. Why is it producing thorns? Why is it producing things that it shouldn't? Well, when mankind is doing things it shouldn't be doing, and everything, so everything starts getting famished. Everything begins to produce what it shouldn't be producing. So now, in order to fix it, the man has to reconnect himself and read, right? That's through Torah mitzvahs, and that's what we've been doing for thousands of years, redevoting, rededicating, resetting everything to its natural setting. Like sometimes, you know, your phone or your computer gets a little messed up. So one of the things you can do, you can push the button that makes reset. You set everything back to company, to the company settings, to the way the company had initially set it up. Here too, we have to restate everything back to the company setting, the way the Eibishter set everything meant to move from the beginning. So once Mashiach comes and man is back in that state, that's why we brought from the Al Shulchan Kaddish last week. He asked the question, how is it going to be that the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that the earth is going to give forth finished cookies or finished rolls? The answer is, why should the earth not do that? The reason why we have all kinds of alamates malachas, and there is 10 types of malacha which we do with food, it's all to separate the psailas from the oichel, the bad, the waste, from the good. But why is there waste in the first place? He says, a person is going to imagine, how is the earth going to, who's going to remove the chaff or the chaff? Who's going to remove the, right? Who's going to do all that work? And the answer is that it's not going to be necessary. The earth is going to produce finished product because there's no reason for it to produce unfinished product. The only one reason it does that because of it being tzimished, it being confused, and now it's not going to be tzimished anymore, and everything is going to be put back in its place. This brings us back to the snake, and this is where I was heading to the entire time. And that is, what is the tikkun of the snake? The human body is going to go back into a ruchni stig state, as we spoke earlier. Again, doesn't mean that we're stopping to be physical. The physical is going to become so faredelt, so refined, so clean, so pure, it's going to become back pure intelligence. And therefore, the body and the neshama are going to go on living after tchias ha-mesim forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That is the conclusion of the Shloha Kaddish, which Hasidus accepts, based on Mekubalim, that the ultimate state of existence is body and soul together, because that's the whole kavana. And physical, but the physical earth should be receptive of the Eibishter's truth, including beginning and primarily our bodies, our physical bodies. So the body is going to be completely attached to the neshama, living all of eternity. The earth that was cursed is going to go back in providing for the body without any waste, and that's why it's going to be all completed, finished stuff, ready to eat. The man won't have to toil and clean out the earth from its mess, because there's no mixture in the human being, there's no mixture in the earth. What's the story with the snake? On the one hand, we said the snake is going to eat sand, is going to eat dirt. On the other hand, there will be peace with the snake. And this is a very, 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 very important idea. Peace with the world is only possible. You can only make peace. You can only make peace in the world when everybody recognizes their place in God's overall plan for creation. When you know who you are and what your mission is, what your role is, then you have peace. When you're wandering around and you're not doing what you ought to be doing, what you should be doing, you become jealous and you want and you expect to have what someone else has. See, when you know that this is what I'm meant to be doing, and the Eibishter gives everybody everything they need in order for them to fulfill their mission and their purpose. The problem is when we get a sense of I and a sense of being this outside of our purpose, then I think you're taking something away from me. And that creates a disharmony and an imbalance in all of creation and in all of existence. And that plays itself out, mamash, at the end of days, for instance, in our time, in the end, in the last battle of Klipa, when in the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people were given the land of Eretz Yisrael, through which, in that place, they can build the Beis HaMikdash, and over there, they can construct and serve the Eibishter, as be the ultimate channelers of divine consciousness and awareness of Hashem to the entire world, and we being the place through where all of mankind and all of humanity comes to serve Hashem and comes to know Hashem. The knowledge that is going to be in Eretz Yisrael, going to be through Melech HaMashiach, in which he's going to teach all of humanity and all of existence the infinite knowledge, the infinite understanding of Elokus, ever for deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Eretz Yisrael is going to be the center of life, the center of connection to Hashem. Right before Mashiach comes, the Klipa is making one last attempt to hold on to something that's not theirs, because this idea, the moment Klipa acknowledges that it has no other purpose but to serve as a Shaim Eloperi, then it's losing its identity as Klipa anymore. That's the idea. The good of it is absorbed in Kedusha, and the bad of it, the part that is so dense that cannot see itself in this bigger plan as a servant, but wants to be a god, that is destroyed. That's the Ra of Klipa. That which it sees itself not in the plan of the Eibishter. The good of it, which means that which of that part of the Klipa that is willing to concede and understand that it's here to serve its purpose, is going to be invited into Kedusha and is going to serve its purpose. So now, this is Mamish playing itself out with the Arab world. In other words, with the Palestinians. Mamish the snake. It's interesting, they're called Hamas. And Hamas is a word that is used for Hamas Nachash, the poison of the snake. It's called Hamas. It's called the violence of the snake, when the snake is violent. It does not want to concede that the land of Israel, the Eretz Yisrael, belongs to Yidden. And this is a holy land. It's claiming, so if you say make peace, that's what the world, see, that's a crazy world we're living in. The world wants us to make peace with something that is not willing to acknowledge its place. And that cannot work. When it's willing to surrender itself to its purpose and its mission, there is peace. Outside of that, there will never be peace. So as soon as the snake recognizes what the snake is meant to be, the snake, it says, that its place is to eat afar, that its it's not supposed to steal from the human being. Its union is to eat earth and to be the servant of the human being. That's called making shalom. Shalom with the snake. The snake's acknowledgement and recognition. What it was meant to be. And therefore the Tzemach Tzedek in the Maamar in Ora Torah, Parshas Noach, this was the Maamar that I began with a couple of weeks ago in this year, is explaining this idea of shalom with the snake. How is this shalom ultimately accomplished? Hold on over here, let me get it. As the Tzemach Tzedek says, Harei mevuer, this is understood, sheyestalaka eva shebein anocha shebein isha, the animosity between the snake and the woman, ubein zara, and between her children, v'hainu sheyimshach hashalom, there will be peace, af gamem anochash, even with the snake. She anochash makir mekoymoy, the snake must know its place. She'ofer lachmoy, that earth is its bread. V'yenichna ubatel lagaba adam, and the snake surrenders itself to the human being. V'zehu inyan hashalom afilu amanochash. This is the idea of shalom, of peace, even with the snake. Val derech, and he brings this idea from the Alter Rebbe by Geres Hakodesh. I've seen in Yud Beis be'inyan v'ayah ma'isat tzedakim shalom. He says, what does it mean shalom? That tzedakah brings shalom, afilu bepalmalia shalmata, even in the lower abode, henecholos atachtoinim. These are the hecholos of the lower realms, ubefrat oylam azah hashafel, and particularly our lowly world, hamuudiv toivera. Our lowly world is mixed good and bad, mechet adam arishin, from the day of adam arishin, from the sin of adam arishin, vahara shaylet ala toiv, and the evil rules over the good. That the unholy man rules over the holy man. There's two men. There's a man of Kedusha and a man of Klipa. And the man of Klipa wants to dominate over the man of Kedusha. And one empire strengthens itself against the other one, back and forth. This really, really explains it all, what the Alter Rebbe says in a Geres HaKodesh. You see literally in the human being below. This major battle between good and evil, where the evil wants to claim independence, autonomousness, and its own right to exist, not in a state of bitul telekus. And not only that, but here's the problem with Klipa. Klipa, since it doesn't have any reality to it, this is the point. This is mamash the point, that Klipa, since it doesn't have any truth to it, it cannot have its autonomousness unless Kedusha acknowledges it. In other words, when Kedusha says yes, you have a right to exist, that legitimizes it. So the worst things you see it literally in this fight with the Palestinians in against Israel. This is mamash. We realize this little fight that's going on in the world in this. Mamish expresses itself and realize and the entire battle from the beginning of days to the end of the days, it's all being fought out in this little battle that's now going on mamish now in Eretz Yisrael. This is what's the problem? You see, the main power that the Palestinians have, and this is what the Rebbe kept on saying over and over and over again, is that the Jewish left says you acknowledge that we have to make peace and that you have a right and land for peace for land. I'm giving you something, you have your land. The minute you say that, Kedusha has legitimized Klipa. And that's it, you're done. So in the but really this fight, this massive fight, is really a war that goes on in the heart of every human being. It's not just a fight in Eretz Yisrael, it's in each and every one of us. We have a body, and we have in our body is etched a little bit of the snake, the klipa that claims that I'm here to live, to have a good time. I'm here to have pleasure, just for the sake of pleasure. It denies the idea of ani nevresi l'shamash es kaini, and it wants. And what happens is when a person indulges in things that are not, we're not even dealing with sin. Things that are not what the Eibishter wants you to do. What's your mission in this world? What happens to that is that the neshama is a human being is one human being. His neshama is consenting to it. deep inside him, neshama, of course, he has pain and he doesn't like it. But his outer part, his outer consciousness, is acknowledging, yeah, you have a right. You needed this and you needed that and you're entitled. Oh, the moment you're doing that, klipa is makabul chayas from kedusha. The opposite is, what would be the opposite? Lo'oim lo'oim yemotz, the Alter Rebbe says, the one empire fights the other empire. What's the idea? That the nefesh alikis, the neshama, which is deeply, deeply saturated with the idea that einoid movadoi, and that life is only to serve the Eibishter, it wants to dominate the person and schlep the body to serve Hashem, to put the snake back to where the snake belongs, to serve the... Our bodies are not the snake, chas v'shalom, but the body that became, you know, polluted with snake element, that it should be a servant of the Eibishter, it should do what the Eibishter wants. But the Alter Rebbe says, all throughout existence, sometimes the good is prevailing, and the opposite, there's no peace in the world, there cannot be peace. Ad eis kates, until the end of days, sheyizbarer atoiv min hara, that the body, the good, will come out of the bad, which means the negative aspects that are not to serve the Eibishter are going to become so disgusting, so empty, so nothing. It's going to be shunned, be pushed away, and what's going to be left is only a compliant, holy body that wants to serve the Eibishter. L'davik b'shar shem mekoyre mekoyre achayim baruch hu. The good is going to become absorbed in holiness. V'az yispardu kol payale oven. What does it mean in the bigger picture in terms of world politics, or the global? It means l'chayre that the good amongst the non-Jewish world, the Gentile world, which are willing to acknowledge this idea, the good amongst the Palestinian people, if there are any, might be, there are, will recognize their place and where they belong. And those that are bad will lose their chayas, because there's no chayas in something that is not in subservient to the Eibishter. Keshi yizbarer mitoicho b'chinas hatoiv ha-machayeyu, u'bitter zeh, but this bitter is also going to be, so like this. So how is this bitter happening? A lot of this bitter happens as a result of our choices, our back and forth. But we all sometimes chapsach, we all suddenly sometimes feel like, okay, you know, today I win and I have a decisive victory. I schlepped my body to come learn, to daven, to do mitzvahs, to dedicate. And tomorrow I'm feeling lazy, I'm feeling lethargic, I just want to have a lazy day, I just want to pamper my body, I'm not interested in anything, in working hard to serve the Eibishter. And even though we have from time to time victory, we also have many times we lose. So we realize that this battle can go on, chas v'shalom, indefinitely, forever and ever and ever. So that's why the Alter Rebbe concludes in that maimer, in that letter, in the Geras HaKodesh, he says, "Ubir ze yieh gam kein." There's a certain amount that we need to do. And that is accumulative. We accumulate after we do whatever we do. But the last and final decisive blow is going to come about, al yedei gilu yalakusay lamata ba'ara rabba. There is going to be a point when the lights are going to turn on. And there is going to be such a clear, revealed, such a clear and open revelation of the Eibishter in the world, that in the face of such a revelation, you cannot stand and claim existence and beingness other than the Eibishter. In other words, it's going to be so clear, so powerful, that everything that was happy about Kedusha and willing to join into holiness is going to be absorbed into holiness. And whatever is so evil that just cannot surrender to the MS of the Eibishter, it's going to disintegrate. It cannot remain in a state of denial. So there is going to be, when the Shofar Shel Mashiach blows, whenever that moment is going to happen, when Elokus is going to shine so brightly that it's finally going to yank the world free from klipa, and the left, the whatever external klipa that there is still there is going to fall away. As it says, Kimola Oretz Deyas Hashem, the world is going to be filled with divine knowledge. And then he concludes, this is Atkan Lashoyin, as he brings from the Alter Rebbe. And then he says, therefore there will be shalom with the snake as well. Why? Ki yenichla ubatal legamra kebitl madreges atachtayne shebekedusha. Because it is going to become with the same bit, it's still a low level, because as we said earlier, it's still the external of the external, but it's going to be batal like the chitzainiyistic levels of kedusha that are batal to Hashem. They're not pnimiyistic levels, which are deeply batal. totally nullified, like Moshe Rabbeinu, v'anachnu mar, like our Rebbe, totally bottle. It's going to be bottle, reluctantly bottle, but yet still bottle. And then he says something very, very, very special. He says, and that's the meaning when it says, v'shashuya yoinek, that a little child is going to play, that a little child is going to play by a snake's hole. Before we get to that, just to, he brings, and this again, I'm just quoting from the Ora Torah, which was what instigated the entire last 3-4 shiurim, was all this one Ora Torah. It was very, very powerful ideas about understanding, getting a clear understanding on this whole. He brings over here from the, he brings the Ora Torah, brings from the Shulah HaKadosh, Hagdama Maila Kabalti Mimoiri, that I received from my Rebbe. I don't know who the Shulah HaKadosh is, Rebbe. Vihi Shaloi. No, he brings B'Shem Arav Galanti. I don't know who that must have been, a big Makubal. Vihu Shaloiti Abitala Klipa is Kula Mikol Vikol. The Klipas will not become bottled completely. Avotia Sha'isai Tzad Hamareva Hakasha. The bitter part of the Klipa, Ya'akreyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Min HaOlam, will be uprooted from the world. Vihishoir Hakatsev Hakatseva Hatoiva Hamasuk. The end of it that's good and sweet will become absorbed in all. Similar to what we say by Esav, that his head is in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. The head of Esav is good, the body not, but the head, the upper part of Esav, could be included in Kedusha. And the same is also, it says by the snake also, the Eibush that tells Chava, Ata Teshifenu Akev. No, Hashem told the snake, Hu Yeshivcha Roish, he's gonna knock off your head. The Roish of Klipa is the spark of Kedusha that's in the snake. Again, snake, when I'm saying snake, I don't mean only snake, I mean the entire realm of the unholy. That the Roish of it, which is its inner point, its inner godly spark, its potential to be able to be a servant of holiness, and all those people that belong in the snake world that are willing to accept the emes of the Eibush, that this is the Eibush's world and we're servants of the Eibush, all this will be included in Kedusha. It will become the chitzainiest, the wall of Kedusha. And outside of it will just cease to exist. As he says, V'inyanu sheyamtek HaKadosh Baruch Hu hachitzainim, the Eibush will sweeten the external beings, mimeridos, from their bitterness that's keeping them on the outside, atche yekonsu ala Kedusha pnima, they will enter into holiness indoors. V'zehu soid, hear this, v'shashia, that a little child will play by chur pasen, by the snake of a viper, by the hole of a viper. V'hineya, what does that mean? That godly light, teiret soit simchasai, the Eibishter simcha, why is there going to be such, the Alter Rebbe said there's going to be gilui alakus so much that it's going to blow away the klipa. But the gilui alakus is going to be so powerful that it's going to reach even those people that are generally so clogged and so disconnected and so dense from perceiving. That even when they see a miracle, they come up with all kinds of scientific reasons what caused it instead of seeing the Eibishter. So there has to be such a powerful revelation that's going to, why? This is also an amazing insight that I just had right now. And it just comes out from what we're learning over here, is that the tainug that the Eibishter is going to has from the accumulation of thousands of years of us struggling with the darkness and all the Torah mitzvahs in which we overcame the klipa, and when we finally have did everything we can to complete our avodah, the tainug of the Eibishter is going to be so powerful, it is so great and so amazing, that that's going to cause the greatest expression of elikus. Because when you have pleasure, and pleasure leads to joy, and joy leads to revelation. So the pleasure is going to be so intense and so powerful, it's going to reach all the way down to the viper snake. I'm sorry, to the viper's hole. To the hole, which means the depth of Klipa, the Gili Alakus, as the Alter Rebbe says in Egeres HaKodesh, that the ultimate bitter happens Milmaila, not from our work. We do the bitter as much as we can and then blast. That gilui is going to be so strong, it's going to reach even the depth of Klipa and pull out whatever is shayach, whatever is still connected, possible for it to have a birur, and whatever doesn't belong, it's going to destroy. And it's going to, and that simple, it's simple, it could be connected to what Chazal also tell us, that when Mashiach comes, Hashem removes the sun from its sheath, and the wicked are going to be burnt, and the tzaddikim are going to be healed by it. What does that mean? Tzaddikim don't mean tzaddikim, a rebbe. Tzaddikim means every bit of tzedek v'yosher, every bit of of Gutzkeit that there is amongst the Gentile people, amongst the Muslim world, amongst the Palestinian people, every bit of decency that's there, that the moment it's going to see the emes of the Eibishter is going to be willing to surrender to it, that's misrapim, that's going to be healed. The Rishayim, the Ra of it, disintegrate. In the burning revelation, it can't face the Eibishter and still claim Yeshus and beingness. Therefore, it's going to destroy. I mean, if it can't become bottled, then it ceases to exist. And that's what he says. What, so then the Tzemach Tzedek adds, what does it mean, a chur pasen, a viper's hole? You can say that's Gaza. And the Gaza is a viper's hole. Mamish people dominated by Hamas, by snake. But what does it mean in a person's own avodah, in our own little world? He says the viper, the hole of the snake means these are the words. He says a hole is a deep place. It's a hole in the ground. It's a place that's deep. It means a person who is so stuck in klipa. He is so deeply entrenched, he or she, entrenched in unholiness, that like a person has become addicted to sinful activity, addicted to being just an indulgent, physical, materialistic human being, and feels that I can't. In other words, even though I learn Chassidus, and I learn and I daven, and I get an inspiration, I can't give up. I can't, like, we hold on to something tightly. This I can't give up. This is my chocolate. I can't give up on my chocolate. I can't give up on my this. I can't give up on this pleasure. I can't give up on, because I'm just, this is just, that's called the viper's hole. Because the person is in this depth of a snake. He's stuck deep, deep inside. But we turn around in today's world and we see so many frum yidden, so attached to the materialism, so deeply attached. Like, are the people going to be really to leave their beautiful mansions and their homes? And the Rebbe says that the Rebbe had to comfort everybody and say that you're going to take it all with you, everything with you. But hypothetically, people are going to be willing to give up their gashmis, the things, and go after the Eibishter, lechtech achrei b'midbar. Take a look in our Hasidic communities. So many young people that are become so. So worldly, so I should say, so modern, so yes, they think like there's this Chassidim. The moment Mashiach comes, the moment of revelation, Elokus is going to be so powerful and so strong that it's going to reach even those that find themselves in the viper hole, so connected, so attached to unholiness, to materialism that's not serving the Eibishter, are going to be so enlightened that they're going to run to Elokus with all their love and all their passion and all their fervor. As he says, look at these words, the Tzemach Tzedek says, V'machavin yeshloimer shepchinas chur pasen ze oimikos kashris b'ritzoy nezores. The deepest, those that are so deeply connected in unholy desires, the tanugim and delights, it's not. It's not your purpose. It's not your. It's not your mission. It's not. It's not part of your life. And when the Mashiach comes, see now, for instance, a Rebbe says a maimer. The Rebbe said a maimer, or yes, gilui elokus. A Rebbe is giving a maimer. It's gilui elokus. So who does it reach? Chassidim that come to the fabrengen. Chassidim who will pick up the maimer. They have enough. They have enough. They're enough refined and elevated and in a higher place in their life that when a mimer is said, when there's a new mimer that comes out, and they have an attraction to it. So they'll learn it, and the light is going to glow in their neshama. But what happens to the people who can't go to Yud Beis Yud Gimel Thomas Fabrengen? So you say, Yud Beis Yud Gimel Thomas, can they go? Why? Because there's a sports game. There is a baseball game. The guy's a huge fan of basketball or baseball, whatever it is, and he can't go away from the Super Bowl. He can't. It doesn't reach this person. And that's the nekuda, that the gilui elokus is going to be so far, it's going to reach even the snake of the viper hole. Yegamkin gilui elokus will be gilui elokus atche lo yeh b'b'chanas es kashrus tanugin kashmim. Once you feel the Eibishter, automatically the attachment and the connection to the klipa, which presents itself as something delightful, enjoyable, and meaningful, suddenly you start realizing it's emptiness, it's void, it's nothingness, and suddenly your fingers that are clutching it so tightly start getting looser and looser and looser until you leave go of it completely, until it's over. Kim yekeli reikon. These people will become an empty vessel. Where there is empty vessel means like kabel gili alakus, to receive godly revelation. Ubitel and bitel lefi erech hashayuchal se'es, according to what it can handle. And that's the idea that shalom is going to be with the snake. And shalom is and at the same time, val offer atav, val offer tashav, the snake will eat its sand and know its makam in this world. Just to conclude, the Rebbe says in a mimer, this I was quoting from the Tzemach Tzedek, so the Rebbe says in a mimer, in order for there to be such gilui elokus that is going to once for all devastate, destroy all klippa completely, and not going to leave even one trace of it around. It's, in other words, think about it, that if Bibi Netanyahu would have the guts to rain down in Gaza such a makas retzach, give them such a beating to the point that they would that it would eliminate them completely, with no aimal for alamo, once and for all, you're sending rockets, you're done. You have no reason to exist. Out. Goodbye. You're saying the Eberster is going to make such a gili elokus. It's going to eliminate the other side completely. How does that happen? It's because gili elokus is going to, the Rebbe says it's going to come. There's going to be a revelation of the Eberster so strong that doesn't leave any room for anything else to exist. You see, from the day the world was created until today, even though there was gili elokus in the world, the Eberster always left room for something else. The Eberster left space. The Eberster was very gentle, a gentleman. He allowed his opponents also to exist, which means that even when there was godly revelation, it did not occupy all space. It didn't blast through everything to knock out everything that is opposing it. It left room for something, for another. It's like a person has an argument, has a debate with someone else, and you're debating, and you're giving good arguments, and You win the debate, but even after you won the debate, you left room for the other to have some kind of an argument. Like it didn't, but sometimes you give such a knockout argument. You knock it so strong that there was it's so clear. No one has there isn't any possibility for a counter argument. So that's that kind of gilui was never here in the world. That's going to be when Mashiach comes. The Rebbe says, however, that has to also be connected to our avoda, because everything in the world has to be connected to our avodah. So where do we have an our avodah? There should be something like that. She says, to say that what? That's tzaddikim. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya. Tzaddikim, their awareness, their recognition of the Eibishter is so powerful and so strong, they leave no room for the Nefesh HaBahamas at all. And Atkadei Kach, that the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, they're Sayne B'tachlis Asina. They hate it with utter hatred to the point that it becomes non-existent, because any bit of unholiness in the Nefesh HaBahamas that still had an Achiza in Klippa, that still had some hold on a Klippa, disintegrates, and it becomes an ally to Kedusha. There's no bit, there cannot be even a tiny bit of unholiness inside of it. But the Rebbe says there's only very few tzaddikim. The Alter Rebbe brings in time. So what avoid in us is there that will bring about such gilui elokus? It's interesting. The Alter Rebbe said in the Geres HaKodesh, what we were saying earlier, that the final gilui is an inyo mamayla. There's going to be gilui elokus. Mamayla. That's going to come from after we finish doing our avoid. As we can do the bitter as much as we can do the bitter based on our struggles, then Hashem reveals His truth, and that knocks out the klippa, does the final blow. But the Rebbe is saying that too is dependent on our avodah. Everything is our avodah. That too comes in Sarusa de Latata, Sarusa de Liela. What is it in our Sarusa de Latata that is going to bring that about? So the Rebbe says that every single person has moments when they don't tolerate klippa anymore. Even though in the course of our lives we can't rid ourselves of it completely, he says, b'shas avoid, at the time of davening, you're davening, and you're really into it, and then you get nagging, somebody's nagging you on the phone, or this is happening, and you're so frightened, nothing exists for you now. Now you only want to serve the Eibishter. It even bothers you that your body is saying, I'm hungry, I'm this. You just want to learn, you want to daven, you don't want to have. The Rebbe says, everybody has moments like that. I'll just read you the words. He says a very, very fascinating idea. This is in a mimer, Sefer Malukat Chelik Beis. And the mimer, I don't know, Amid Reish Ayin Zayin, I'm not sure exactly what the mimer begins with. But the Rebbe says, Shavoidezu, Lisnoya Sarab, Tachlis Asina, Yachali is Gamba Bainanim, it can be even by Bainanim, Afilu Be'ela Shalamatim and Madregas Bainani, and even by people that are on a lower level than a Bainani. The Bekol Echod Ve'echod Mi Yisrael, by every single Yid, Yeshnam Zmanim Mi Yuchadim, there are appropriate time, Bishas Atfila, or Bishas Esek Atayra, at the time of davening, the time of Esek Atayra, or Bishashu Makaya Mitzvah, Devazor Batve, the time that he's doing a mitzvah. It's again, either at davening, or time of Esek Atayra, or the time when you're doing your mitzvah. Or even during the day when you're busy with something else, Hashem Shemayim, especially b'chol derechecha de'eyuv, shabisha zu, at this moment, he meiser es kol mitziyasai, egetzich iberin gansen. These are the words of the Rebbe. A person gives himself over completely l'alakus to godliness, v'al yedei ze ein shayach l'begad ha'matzayim. Right now, you know, I'm no shaychus to the negative garments. K'moy tzadik gomer, like I'm complete tzadik. And since, you say, good, it's a moment. It's a brief moment that I had such a godly moment. Yeah, but you get, in Lamaila, they catch a snapshot. They snip the picture. And just like we see today, that you can be in a certain moment just for a second, but when you catch a picture, the picture exists forever and ever, and the person can already pass away from this world, and they can have the picture for another 1,000 years. And even beyond that, then everything is digitalized. Everything can be kept forever, right? So Lamaila, that's the way it is. When you have a moment of emes, a moment of clarity, where anything that's not your mission and anything that's not shaykh to what the Eberster wants of you is by you completely upgefrekt, it's completely yech, outside of your zone, you don't want to know of it, you don't want to hear of it, that moment is captured above and it causes a yichud forever and ever and ever and ever, and that suffices to enable that mitzvah, the Eberster should reciprocate as well, and he too should reveal a lukus in a manner that is so real and so emes that it's not shaykh to have anything that negates it. May the Eberster help that from the Chag HaGeula of today, of Yud Beis and Yud Gimel Tammuz, the Friediger Rebbe's Geula should be the Geula of all of us and the Geula of the entire world and the safety of the Yidden Eretz Yisrael. And once and for all, there should be the ultimate peace when Yichru v'yepoilu v'lichvoy chimcha yikar yateinu, when everybody will kneel and prostrate themselves in front of the Eberster and acknowledge Hashem Hu Elokim, and may that happen right now. We'll be Ezra Hashem continue next week Thursday. In Yerushalayim. Hello? Was everybody still there? Or was I? Hello?